At one point, I must have curled up in a ball, because when I clawed my way out to consciousness, I found my knees tucked under my chin and a freeborn woman sitting at my feet. I looked down at her as a cloud of something awful washed over me. At first, I thought a rat had died in the cell's air vents, but then I saw a sleeping Union woman thrash around on her cot before settling down. Then the freeborn woman shifted in her seat. The smell got worse. At first sniff, I thought it was the classic combination of body odor and booze, but there was an ugly sharpness to their smell, like they'd been splashed with chemical runoff. Their clothes were also spattered with bleach spots, and as I watched, the spots spread. A thought clicked in the back of my head, and I wished I could pull up my pie's buffer. I'd just seen something that stained like that. What was it?
What?
Your clothes.
What about them? They not good enough?
Oh, Jesus, you really want to pull that class warfare crap now, when I'm in the same cell as you? What made the spots on your clothes?
She did.
The freeborn woman jerked a thumb at our sleeping celly.
I was just trying to get a drink last night, and she started squawking about how my type shouldn't have been in the bar, telling me my kind was killing her business, and how dare I try to reap what she sowed, or something crazy like that. And then some other ink tries to calm her down, some skinny thing. Looked like she would blow away on a breeze.
What then?
She starts talking, this real high voice, about how she's just lost her man and how she's lost and can I help her. Real pitiful, right? I was gonna tell her to go away, but then these two old ladies show up. One on either side of me, right? They look even weaker than this first lady, but they grab my arms and it hurts.
You picked the wrong little old ladies to cross.
Don't I know it? I was just about to tell them to fuck off when that one there, she grabs a bottle, smashes it on the bar like she was to cut me, and then this horrible smell just filled the place. She got a face full of splash rum and the rest got on me. Ruined my clothes. Would have got me if the stink hadn't driven us out into the street.
And then what?
Police came, rounded us all up. She screamed some more in the bumble car and just passed out. Her drink caught up with her in her gut and up her nose.
Do you remember what kind of rum it was?
The kind that was supposed to cost a lot.
Another skunked bottle. What the hell was the co-op doing with quality control? I hoped Tongao wasn't going to let that happen to old Windswept. I didn't know what I'd do if it all started to go bad.
It was supposed to be safer in the city. Instead, I get this abuse. I gotta deal with cane rats and crops rotting on the stalk, and then I come here, and what do I get? You inks talk about us coming to the city, getting drunk and starting fights. I work hard. I deserve to sit at a bar like anyone else.
I completely agree, and when I get out of here, I'll make sure it happens.
Uh-huh. If you were someone who could do that, he wouldn't be in here with us.
Sony walked into the cell block, her patrol cap tucked into her uniform's epaulet. Her head, like every other cop's, was shaved to stubble. It was supposed to be intimidating, but it made her look like a freshly husked coconut.
Making friends?
I like your haircut. Sony gave me a sour look as she unlocked my cell.
One of these days, your compliments are gonna get you beaten to a pulp.
As long as I keep making donations to the Widows and Orphans Fund, I expect the beatings to be quick and professional.
Let's go.
Sony swung the door open. What happened? You realized you arrested the wrong woman?
Hardly. You made bail. Look at me.
Sony waved a red light stick at my face.
You're tagged for city limits only. Go on the water or into the campong, and you'll forfeit your bond and get locked up until trial. Plus, I'll be able to do horrible things to your head.
I know how bail tags work, thanks.
Not from this end. And don't try to make another smartass remark, unless you want it to show up in court.
I looked at the freeborn woman, who sat on her bench, her arms crossed. When you get out, you ask around this neighborhood for Padma Mehta.
That you?
That it is. I meant what I said about helping.
You want to help? You let me get a drink where I want, when I want.
I'll see what I can do. Sony and me filed out to the front desk.
You lining up future customers?
I mimed, zipping my mouth shut. A sleepy-eyed desk sergeant handed me a clipboard and a bag of my stuff. Sony stood in front of the door to the lobby.
Before you go, for what it's worth, I don't think you're behind this. But you know I have to follow through on every lead, right?
I gave her a blank face.
All the same, I got pie logs that say you went to the office and stayed there all night. The signal winks in and out, and then I got Sarian arriving and staying there. What happened, Padma?
I crossed my arms and tapped my clamped mouth.
We'll be in touch.
Sony let me through the door into the lobby. Estella Tongao sat in a chair, a smile on her inked and lined face.
Well, I don't think either of us thought we'd be keeping our appointment in such an interesting place.
Madam Tongao, what are you doing here?
Bailing your ass out, it would seem. You wouldn't believe the size of the bond I had to post. Ridiculous. Just like the charges.
My point exactly. There's no way I could have...
Don't say another word until we're out of here, yes?
I nodded and walked for the door. Outside, a green limousine straight out of an executive's wet dream materialized out of the traffic and came to a halt in front of us. The door glided open, and Tongao got into the limo, leaving a trail of cinnamon and clove perfume behind her.
Let's go for a ride, shall we?
She smiled, but from the way her eyes crinkled, I knew it wasn't a suggestion. I climbed in after her. The limo was austere, all spotless leather and hard edges.
I bought this off a derelict McDonald Heavy ship. Ugly as hell, but it drives smoothly. You can hardly tell you're moving.
I looked out the window. The streets of Santee City flashed by without a hint of acceleration. Any idea who it was meant for?
Someone with a massive paycheck and no taste. By the way, did you get my gift?
I patted the flask on my thigh pocket. I did, thank you. She pushed the wall and a panel came open. Inside was a pair of hand-blown rum-tasting glasses and a fifth of old windswept. Tongao cracked the cap, and the scent... Oh, the heavenly scent of the rum filled the limo, sending my head swimming. Tongao poured a finger in each glass.
Care for a drink?
Not when I'm on the clock.
A good policy. I will never get over that feeling. A little kick... A lot of velvet, and then the warmth. Makes me wish we had a serious winter here, just so I could appreciate it that much more.
That's why I like a bit at night. You sit on your lanai, you get the breeze off the ocean with that chill, and then a little bit of rum to round off the evening.
Agreed.
Tongao reached for the second glass.
One of the many reasons why I've enjoyed talking with you, Miss Maida. You sense a bit of the romance.
A bit. I just looked out the window again. We were in a neighborhood of new row houses off Cheswell Boulevard. This was Stryver territory, second or third generation shareholders who had invested in all the non-union and non-co-op parts of Santee. I'd met a few Strivers in the aftermath of the last contract. They were starry-eyed and optimistic as hell. I couldn't stand them.
I'm sure you realize that every romance includes danger.
Is that why we're having this meeting in a fancy-looking armored car? I glanced at the bottle again. It would be so easy to take a casual pour and sip. I blinked up the time. Barely 9 in the morning. Christ.
Partly. But we're also nicely shielded from prying eyes and ears.
Tongao tapped her temple.
No pie signals get in or out. No tracking, no tracing. And what I'm going to talk to you about could quite likely get us killed... So it's probably a good idea to keep it just between us.
I blinked away the time and looked at her. Tongao's face was stone, her eyes half closed. I'm listening.
Good. Because you're going to have to remember this without making a recording. And I'm only going to tell you once. I know, Miss Maida, that you didn't make your number, that you were counting on those miners. I know you're worried that someone else will make a bid for my distillery... And I want you to know that no one else but you is going to get her grubby hands on the place. Provided you do 2 things for me.
Whatever you say. I hoped she didn't want me to kill someone. I'd managed to avoid that for 12 years and wasn't in the mood to break my streak.
The first is easy. I have a pretty hefty shipment going up the cable tomorrow. I want you to make sure it gets there in one piece.
I can't get out on the water. You saw my bail tags.
Yes, but I consider this a test of how you delegate. Think you can swing that?
Uh-huh. What's the second?
I need you to go to every bar in this city and drink.
I waited a moment to see if she was going to smile. She didn't. I think I'm missing something.
You know there have been odd events with some of the co-op's product.
You mean the skunked rum?
Well, I could talk about the proper chemical terms.
Tongao tapped her left cheek, right on the barely visible tattoo of an Erlenmeyer flask.
But yes, there's a new kind of contaminant affecting our rum, and no one can figure out what it is. Some of the best distillers in the co-op are releasing product that goes bad somewhere between crushing the cane and decanting. None of them wants to admit there's something wrong, but every distiller knows something is going wrong, and we're all scared shitless it's going to be one of our bottles next.
But this has happened before, right? Impurities in the bottles, something in the water, a smut on the cane?
For one or two producers every few years, yes. But for this number?
How many are we talking about?
Right now? 57? 58, if I add that picture you sent me.
Who else? She handed me a piece of paper. On it was a list of distillers done in Tongao's loopy handwriting. None of the skunk bottles I'd smelt, other than the Nelson's column from Big Lily's and that dive on Murdoch, were on the list. You can add two more to this. I got a bad bottle of Stilson from Mooj Markson, and one of my cellmates smelled to high heaven from another bottle. Don't know what label.
It's happening faster than I thought. You'll have to move quickly if you're going to get to the bottom of this.
Wait. Why me? Why this? Why can't the co-op just, I don't know, cooperate?
We may be a cooperative in name, but we're barely like it in practice. The big three have been driving down the price for industrial molasses for years, and now they're trying to do the same with the rum. Profits are down, expenses are up, and the last thing anyone wants to admit to the other members is that they're in trouble. Even if it really means everyone is in trouble. This has to stay quiet until we can figure out what the hell's going on.
So this is all on me?
Mostly on you. You get me labels, and I'll do what I can to sort it out.
That's a lot of rum for just me to sample.
I know.
The limo smoothed to a stop.
That's why you're going to take your new breech friends along. Nothing like a bar crawl to celebrate one's liberation, hmm?
I can't take them out in public.
Why? You're afraid the rank and file will lynch you?
Pretty much, yes.
Miss Maida, if you're afraid of that, then maybe you aren't the one to run my distillery. I always thought you had more spine.
I turned to the driver. Oi, take us to Samarkand and Benares and get ready to pick up extra passengers. I caught Tongao's surprised smile. You can't expect me to haul my new friends out on foot, Madam Tongao. We'd never last the day. Tongao raised her glass as the limo sped up.
Okay. The thing...
is...
is what?
The thing. I waved for the bartender to pour us another round.
Oh, right. The thing is that I still don't get how the whole thing works.
The hell? Kind of lawyer are you, Banks?
Real estate, remember?
I get how the whole thing works, and I hate it. Why do we have to wait for someone else to come down so we don't have to, you know,
work?
Exactly. Why the hell can't we start not working now?
Because I looked at the upended and empty shot glasses that surrounded our elbows. Because that's the way it's always worked.
Work.
Banks reached for the empty bottle of Bastard's Blend on the bar top.
You know, I always worked. When I was a kid, I worked in a potato field. When I was older, I worked in a recycling plant.
Recycling?
Yeah. When you use old stuff to make new stuff, recycling. Anyway, I did that, then I got this. And
Banks jabbed at the scales tattooed on his cheek.
And I worked more. And we had to work to get here.
Damn hard work.
Damn hard. And you know, now you're telling me that we have to work again? Doing shit work?
It's not all shit work. I mean, yeah, a lot of it is, but not all of it.
But why?
Because there are only so many jobs to go around, and Walwa or Liao Kan or McDonald don't want to give away any more jobs than they have to, so that's how it goes.
What she said. I focused on the round of shots that had just appeared. I blinked a picture of the label, Next Century Amber, which always tasted like rotting bananas, then held the glass aloft. Here's to Banks. May he not have to work too long, so we won't have to hear his whining about it.
Hear, hear! Oh, this is horrible.
I know. I hid the glass below the bar top. I poured the rum on the ground, then lifted the empty glass to my mouth and tipped it up fast. I had done stealth dumps for the past 6 hours. We'd gone to 30 different bars, tried 150 different rums, always insisting on new bottles. We hadn't encountered any more skunked rum, which really pissed me off. If it had gone bad, at least I wouldn't have had to pay for it. Right now, I was almost 2,000 yuan down, an amount that I realized Tonggao hadn't promised to reimburse.
That's also great.
I passed her a plate full of takoyaki. Eat up. These are great for soaking up booze.
Righteous.
One Eye scarfed two of the battered balls at once.
It's not always gonna be like this, is it? The food, the drinks, the not working.
There's always going to be work. It's just a matter of there being enough jobs. We got the contract coming up for renewal in less than 2 years, and everyone's fighting for a piece of the pie. I waved for one last round. Problem is, the pie's been getting smaller for decades, and no one wants to admit it.
How many jobs are we talking about? Like, enough for us?
I don't know. I'm high enough on the totem pole to know there's a problem, but not high enough to know the exact number. Every time I've asked the people above me, they tell me not to worry, which is a sure sign that something bad is going to happen. But if you're worried about getting into hot water with Wawa, don't. There's no way they can get you. Not here. Not now.
What about all that talk back on the beach?
The bartender put a new bottle of Almost Green in front of us. The green was a favorite of mine that had fresh cane shoots mixed into the mash. It looked like liquid emeralds. I smiled at One Eye as I opened the bottle. Hell, you know the old saying. All that stuff I said was recruitment. This is real. The rum smelled perfect, like freshly cut grass on a spring day. The bartender held up five fingers. 50 yuan a bottle. Jesus. I poured shots for me and One Eye, and this time, I downed the whole thing.
This place is dead. Can we go somewhere fun?
We piled into Tonggao's waiting limo. The driver and I exchanged pointed glances. He was a freeborn man who'd barely said a word during our tour. I was embarrassed. I couldn't tell if he was angry or bemused.
Where to next?
I blinked up the time. 4:10. We were a good 20 minutes from Brushhead, which meant one more round at Big Lily's, and then I was throwing in the towel. Tonggao's polite request could wait until after 6 o'clock. Mercer and Moore, don't take the scenic route.
I hear the sewage plant's lovely this time of day.
No thanks. The limo glided into traffic like an armored swan. I texted Big Lily to prepare for our arrival.
You know, I was pretty sure you'd have a pitch to make.
What, this isn't enough? One Eye didn't laugh. Neither did Mimi or the old ladies. They all stared at me like hungry dogs waiting for someone to toss them a steak. Except Banks. Banks looked out the window. The pitch? Why did you jump ship?
What kind of pitch is that?
Why did you all get into an empty fuel can that dropped 115,000 kilometers onto a planet you'd only heard about through whispers and graffiti, rather than stay upstairs in your nice solid lives? Why?
Really? That's all you've got? We want to know what's
the
in it.
The smell.
What about the smell?
Every morning, I would wake up in my bunk, and the air smelled like dead roses and rust. It was all the recycling. It may have scrubbed out the CO2, but it did nothing about the smells from all the fish sticks. All the belching, the farting, the way their bodies got a little pickled in the hibernate. Every night I would clean myself up, wash my nose and throat, hoping to get the smell out. And there it would be the next morning, reminding me that this was my life, and would continue to be my life for the rest of the trip.
How long?
We tended that ship for 6 jumps. 2 years to get past the red line, 2 years to return, a few weeks in port. 8 jumps. You forgot the first two. We've been underway for over 30 years.
When was the last time you were on solid land?
Every time we got close to fulfilling our contract, A Wawa rep would talk us into an extension for greater benefits. Do another jump, get more stock options. Put in another jump, your medical's bumped up to the next tier. Oh, sign on for an extended tour and we'd be set for life. Then I looked in the mirror and realized I wouldn't have much of a life left. No matter how good the artificial gravity is, you know you're in a cage and dying by degrees.
How about you, Mimi?
It was all torn. We only had one more run to do to meet our obligation. Another 4 years and our indentures would have been fulfilled. We managed those plants for 5 seeding trips, raised all of them on our own. Now it's gone. For what? Fool couldn't wait another 4 years. And now he's dead and I'm stuck here without our plants.
Comfort and understanding I could fake, but what this woman wanted, I couldn't deliver.
Mimi?
We both looked up at Banks, who had reached out with an open hand. Mimi hesitated, then took it.
I was only with you guys for that one run, but we both know Tan wanted you two off that ship. Remember how we all used to work the water hyacinth tank together? 4 hours a day, in muck up to our waists. And Wawa wouldn't replace the waiters they'd issued you on your first trip. Remember that?
Oh, awful things even then. Always rode up funny, didn't keep the water out. Wore out 2 months in.
And that wasn't all that crapped out on that ship, was it?
No. That ship was a nightmare. Leaking steam fittings, parasites in the water lines, and the way the fish sticks would come awake sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You weren't getting quite the deal Wawa said you were, and Tan knew it. He was waiting for a run to a place like Santee so he could get you two out of there.
But how could he leave me? How could he go away like that?
I'm sure he didn't want to. In fact, I think he'd be sad to see you like this right now. This was his dream for the both of you. To be free of Wawa and to run your own lives for once.
I just want him back.
I know.
I need a moment.
Mimi scooted to an empty part of the cavernous limo. Tan must have been quite a man.
He was a bullying asshole.
Ellie!
He was. It didn't matter that I was the one who had authority over running the ship. Whenever there was an issue with his goddamn plants, he'd piss and moan about how he was the only one keeping us alive, and if we didn't help him, we were all dead. Every fucking day, he'd push us around the greenhouse till our fingers bled. Literally.
One Eye held up her hands, a constellation of scars on her knuckles and fingertips.
He didn't want a breach to be free. He'd just heard the porn on Santee was better than the stuff Wawa let him carry on the ship.
Are you kidding? I started that rumor myself.
Then you did your marketing professors proud because you sure as hell knew your audience. The only 2 good things that son of a bitch ever did were getting Mimi into that can and dropping dead on the way down.
Spoken like a true resident of Santee. They probably would have gotten divorced within the year. The cracks show pretty quickly in bad breach marriages.
How high is the divorce rate?
Astronomical. Of course, if you want to divorce someone, you just say so in front of a pied witness or a public terminal, and that's that.
Damn.
I blinked up the time. 4:20.
So what about you?
Oh, you know, got screwed over one time too many and decided I wanted more. How about you, Ellie? Why'd you jump?
I know what you're doing.
And what's that?
I know your type. You learn how to psych people out, how to manipulate them, how to get them to do what you want, and you start by getting into our heads, finding our weak points.
If it's any comfort, I don't think you have any weak points.
See? See? There you are doing it, trying to get me on your side.
I don't care what side you're on, as long as it's not the big threes. You still want to go to Sow's Reach? I'll call you a tuk-tuk, have you delivered in 20 minutes. Just let me get you signed up with the union so you're protected.
Like you protected us last night? I can't wait to see how you'll do against an actual mob.
Last night was a mistake, and I'm sorry it happened. I should have been more careful. It won't happen again.
Damn right.
One Eye cracked open a decanter and poured a finger into one of Tongao's cut crystal glasses.
You know when I last had a drink? The night I got fired from my first job at Wawa.
How?
Well, you can't drink when you're shipbound, so...
No, I mean, how'd you get fired? I pointed to her indenture tattoo. Even if you kill someone, HR wouldn't give you the boot. They'd just counsel you to death.
I had this boss. always talked about how it was important to do the work, to look out for the people you're supposed to mentor. Backstabbing psycho, she set me up to fail every damn time, never gave me what I needed, talked shit about me while she smiled to my face. She got me fired, said I wasn't big three material.
What was the job?
Doesn't matter. Didn't work out, and I became an engineer. I got to fix things. That was enough for a while.
One Eye didn't strike me as the type who needed a comforting arm around her shoulder, so I just passed her a bottle of aspirin. Preventative. The hangover's gonna be brutal. I thought about having the driver take us around the back, but I figured the hell with it. Everyone wanted to think I was some rising star. Fine. I'd show them what that looked like. We stopped in front of Big Lily's. I shepherded the breeches to a table on the lanai.
Are we drinking more?
No, just eating. I think you're all due for something more substantial than bar snacks.
Ooh, I'd love some cake.
I think we can manage that. The waiters brought over trays of steaming purple kumara cakes, roasted squid, and plates of kimchi and other pickles. The breeches tucked in without hesitating. I picked at a bowl of japchae as the breeches revived. So, have you guys given thought to signing up?
I'm in. Me too.
You still haven't convinced me, but if everyone else is going, I guess I will too.
Close enough. I made a note to transfer her ass to Steelcase as soon as possible. How about you, counselor?
I just hope I can manage. Things move faster than your legal code can keep up.
We usually like it that way. Helps us fuck with the big three during contract time. Especially when we upcharge them for hookers.
God, it really is a non-stop orgy of crime and degeneracy.
Is the Big Three still saying that about us? We keep sending their PR departments requests for corrections, but they never listen.
Do you expect them to?
No, but I like frustrating the crap out of them. The dumbest people I knew in B-School all got shuffled into PR, and they were the ones who always gave me the most grief during my all-too-brief career.
What? You mean you weren't always a parasite on the body corporate?
I'll have you know, counselor, that before I breached, I had worked my way to a Class 3 pay scale with 4 letters of commendation, including one from the board, on paper.
Signed in blood?
No, crushed baby seals. Looks prettier.
So what happened? Sounds like you could have written your own ticket. What made you give it up?
For a brief moment, I wanted to tell Banks about the real reason I kept the bottle of old windswept, about the candle and the single finger at 6 o'clock. The fact that his eyes were so damn sincere would have made it easy. I could just open my mouth and it would all spill out, like all the bilge from a salvage.
What's that?
Not our problem. A bumble car raced by, lights flashing. A second bumble car, then a third tore past.
Are you sure? It sounds like...
It sounds like a Thursday night riot at the pitch. St. Saran FC is playing a grudge match against the Freeborn All-Stars, and sometimes the crowds get started before the game.
You need to get here right now.
The text was loud and clear, like someone had written it in 30-meter-high letters of flame. I had to blink away the afterimages just to focus on the message header. It had come from Sony.
Where is here?
I got sent a picture. It was a shot of the Emerald Masjid against the late afternoon sky. Though, as I followed the green spires to the ground, I saw that the actual subject was a pile of browned rags hanging over a set of rusting pipes. It took me a moment to realize that I was looking at the north end of the sewage plant, right off Cortland Lane, and that the pile of rags was actually a stack of bodies laid out on the tops of the testing lines, like someone had set out a bunch of gutted fish to dry in the sun. I fought back the temptation to say I had nothing to do with it, until I remembered that I was still supposed to be looking out for this ward, even the parts of it that tried to kill me.
Be right there.
I stood up. I'll be right back. Local business.
Where are you going?
And is there more rum there?
You don't need to worry about that, and no, there is no rum there.
If it has to do with the police, I'd like to help.
And I'd like you to get your ass signed onto the union books before you go wandering again. Something bad is happening, and either here or the hall are the safest places for you.
You said I'd be safe in Steelcase.
One Eye gave me a wary look, and Mimi's face lit up with alarm. Look, you'll be fine here, especially since I've got an open tab. As for you, Banks, if you can keep your mouth shut, you can come along. It was a short downhill walk to the plant. The police had set 3-meter-high screens around the crime scene, and a crowd hovered at the edge of the cordon, their faces washed yellow in the bumble car's flashing lights. I left Banks at the screens, and there were the bodies, beaten to a pulp and floppy as puppets. I'd seen plenty of people killed in industrial accidents or bar fights gone wrong, but this was different. Sony stood nearby as some cops dabbed at the blood drops on the ground. Who are they?
Jordan Blanton, Thor Becker, Remy Gallatin, all locals.
I pinged the corpse's pies to confirm what she'd said. All those bodies, they had been people who had all been at the office last night. All of them had threatened me, and they had likely badmouthed me to anyone who would listen. I knew I should stay and explain to Sony, especially now that I had Banks with me, but I just turned and ran, knocking down the screens as I went. I ran through the streets and alleys, knowing Sony could track me, but not caring. I ran until the streets got dark, and I'd run out of steam. I looked up and saw that I was back on Murdoch, outside the shitty bar with the cardboard sign. Drink, it said. And I thought, yes, I should, because it was probably after six, and I might as well give in. Let the deal with Tongao fall through. Let Sony arrest me. Let me just rot away where I wouldn't have to deal with the Union or dead bodies or anything. That would be perfect. Ah! And then the back of my right eye spiked with pain. I was looking around to see what was happening when I saw Jillian Banks ride up in the tuk-tuk. Bloombeck followed behind on a cargo bike. Of course. Why not?
Jilly thought you might be here. You okay?
Peachy, why is he here?
He found us. Said he had something to tell you.
And you believed him? What the hell do you want, Bloombeck?
I am here to save the day, Padma!
Bloombeck kicked the bike's stand into place. What time is it?
6:10.
Okay. Someone is buying me a drink now. The bar had gotten even worse. The mustard gas smell clung to the walls and streaks of soot lined the bar back. Jilly hugged herself and stuck close to Banks as we slid into a booth. I wanted to try and reassure her, but then Bloombeck shoveled his way next to me, his stench making my eyes water. Oh, fuck me, Bloomy, did you go swimming in a cesspool?
I've been undercover, trying to figure out who framed you, just like you'd want me to, partner.
What the hell are you talking about? And get downwind of me, will you?
But Padma, I gotta tell you—
You can tell me from 2 meters away where your stink won't crowd me. God, where have you been? The sewer lines?
The best way to find out what's going on. So, I heard about what happened with Sarian, and I put 2 and 4 together.
Stop there. First of all, I had nothing to do with Sarian. Second of all, you and I are not partners in any way. Third, goodbye.
But this will help me pay off my debt to you.
You turning your body into a fertilizer log would pay off your debt because you're worth more that way. Go pester someone else.
No.
Well, that's a new one. All these years chasing your ample ass around Brushhead for back dues and owed favors, I've never known you to pass up passing the buck. What gives?
I want to make good on what I owe you, that's all.
Bull's balls. You're working something, and I should have you arrested for impersonating a con man.
But I want to help you!
And I want to retire and have beautiful men feed me peeled grapes. Guess which is going to happen first?
I know who killed Sarian!
Spill it. All of it.
Okay. So, I'm down at my local having a nip, and I hear about Sarian's passing. I get to thinking, why would you want to kill him? I mean, I know he's gone and taken breaches from you and given you all kinds of grief, but to kill him? That ain't your style, Padma. You'd outdeal him, make him look stupid, do something with more finesse, you know?
That almost sounds logical.
I know, right? This whole thing stinks of a frame-up, and who would want to hurt you more than Sarian?
I imagine that list is pretty big.
Walwa. Your former employer, you cost them a lot of money, and the other day, you waltz into their office and make them look stupid, then lift a bunch of people out from under their noses. How could they not want you dead?
Because that would cause a union backlash and a work stoppage and crash their share price.
But that's if they actually hurt you. But if they hurt your reputation.
I thought about the rumors floating around the jail about ghosts running around on Santee. If that were true, then we were all in new territory, the kind filled with flesh-eating landmines and laser-guided crocodiles. I heard nothing but rumors about how ghosts operated while I was in B-school, and I had never moved high enough up the corporate ladder to learn what they really did. But I'd been able to piece together enough from news and water-cooler scuttlebutt to know that they were bad actors. A single ghost could upset an entire city, and a squad of them could wreck a planet. But were they here? This is all sounding frighteningly level-headed, but still insane.
Insane enough to get into Throne Hill?
What's Thronehill?
Walwa's colonial HQ. How in hell could you do that?
The plant.
Oh, you have got to be kidding. You didn't. Bloombeck waved his hands over his filthy clothes.
Where do you think all this is from?
I figured that was your standard grooming, Bloomy.
This is what I get for busting my hump? You think anyone else would be crawling around in the shit trying to find something out?
Jesus, is my entire day going to revolve around excrement? What in hell could you have possibly found in the sewers, Bloomy?
Okay. I was in the sewers because they lead into the main plant for the Wawa complex. Water, air, sewage all go through there.
Bloomy, if you're about to tell me that you have samples of some exec's bowel movement as proof, I will beat the living hell out of you.
It's also where all their whole paper trail goes for disposal. All of it!
I hope you're recording this, Banks, because you've just witnessed something miraculous.
What's that?
Vitae Bloombeck has had a good idea. No, a fucking brilliant one. Walwa, of all the big three, still insists on doing everything on paper. Every purchase order, every policy change, every presentation has a paper version. There's a palm pulp plant in Habana Vieja that does nothing but turn cane bagasse into reams and reams of paper, just to feed it all into the Walwa's bureaucracy so it can be stamped, printed, filed, then chucked in the shredders and burned.
Burned? That makes no sense.
Well, what about the big three does?
You want to see what I found out?
Uh-huh.
I got Jimny. You remember Jimny. I got him to tell me where the burn room was, and I found all kinds of goodies there.
I've already been on one wild squid chase because of Jimny.
Yeah, but that wasn't because of the paper.
Bloombeck started digging in his pockets. He held up a handful of paper flakes.
There's tons down there. Piles of paper scraps as big as me. And I couldn't fit into the maintenance hatch, but I could reach in a bit, snag a few nearby bits.
Bloombeck grabbed my hand and sprinkled the flakes into my palm.
Jimny says the piles are organized by day, so I figured we go through them and then find some that have your name on it, see?
My excitement now died as I flicked through the flakes in my hand. One or two looked like they had bits of my name. A pod here, a may there. The rest were gibberish. I don't see how all this points the finger at Walwa. Banks took hold of my wrist and scooped the paper shreds into his palm.
This bit came down right before I got pushed out. You put them together, you might get a chop. Something you can use against the ones on the public. You put this together and who knows what you'll find?
Garbage. I looked at Banks, who was now shifting the flakes around like they were building blocks. I'll find a big pile of garbage.
But it's all from the bigwigs. Jimny says the high-level execs have their own dedicated chutes. He has to take special care to make sure they don't get clogged. That's where I found this. And that should be more than enough to hold up my end of the bargain.
The only thing you're going to hold up is a shattered jaw.
How much more was there?
A pile as big as...
As big as you, yes. How much?
Well, about up to here.
Bloombeck held his hand up to his chest, reconsidered, then brought it jowl high.
How old was the pile?
From a week ago.
Take us.
What? Banks, no way in hell are we gonna...
Look.
Banks blinked, then stared down at his hand. He shifted the pieces around his palm, moving them like parts of a jigsaw, until they fit perfectly. The resulting fragment said, Tralee, with a time stamp from 2 days ago. That's a neat trick. They teach you that in law school?
Kind of.
Send me that picture. I might need it to help my case. Jimny overheard some execs and some goons talking about the Rose. They knew there was trouble with the crew. They also got out to the drop site pretty damn fast. How did they know you were going to breach?
You don't suppose...
Ghosts?
No, we're still not big enough for ghosts to hunt here. But Walwa got wind of it, and Saurians crossed them more than I have. They wouldn't be stupid enough to write an invoice for the hit, but there might be enough circumstantial evidence to clear me.
Just what I was thinking, huh? Come on!
Come on where? Bloombeck had already bounded out the door. Banks, Jilly, and I followed. In the damp glow, Bloombeck huddled over his cargo bike, a rig that brought new meaning to the word filthy. A beat-up two-stroke engine hung onto the drivetrain like some kind of rusty parasite. A few small bags of paper flakes were crammed in the front box with stacks of reeking scuba gear. Bloombeck peeled a tattered environment suit off the pile and held it up to my body.
Here, this should fit you. You still got a diving cert, right?
You're not serious.
Hey, there's a lot in there. I figured it would be better for you to decide what comes out, you know, to be more efficient.
Jesus, this environment suit probably has rabies. Forget it. There is no way in hell I'm following you into the sewers.
But there's so much. A pile of paper shreds taller than me.
And just as full of crap.
The paper doesn't lie.
Unless it's meant to.
I don't know. Might be worth digging for more.
Banks had reached into the bags for paper and blinked, then shifted the paper around again, holding up the fragments. Saurian contract approved for termination. Ah, shit. Now we're going to have to follow Bloomy up the pipe.
We? I don't see my name on that receipt.
You kept me from beating the hell out of Vitae Bloombeck, which is one of my inalienable rights. And for that, you owe me.
Should I wait here, boss?
No, my dear, because you're coming too.
Oh, shit, no. I don't swim.
And I don't do enclosed spaces.
Then you can find a rock and cave in my skull now, because if you leave me, I'm just as dead. I need you, Banks, because you've probably got more recent EVA experience than I do. And you, Jilly, because I'll likely need your skinny ass to get into the burn room.
No way. Not if you pay me.
An even grand, right now. No bullshit.
Well, I guess I can learn.
It's easy. You just... A truck rumbled past. And at first, I thought it was Papa Wemba off doing another compost haul. Instead, its driver was a thick-necked man, a giant, really, like a goon out of his armor. As the truck turned the corner, the canvas in the back flipped up in the breeze, and a woman stuck her head out.
Padma!
She disappeared back into the truck. It was Jordan Blanton. I ran after the truck, but it disappeared in the traffic. Banks jogged after me.
You okay?
You couldn't help her when she was alive, and you sure can't do it when she's dead.
I walked past Banks back to Bloombeck. Let's go before I change my mind. Bloombeck gave me a jowly nod, then kick-started the bike to life.
I'll be at the intake filters on Mercer in 10 minutes.
You sure about this?
No, but this is all I got now. I don't have the time to wait for the police to follow their procedures.
Why not? We under a deadline?
Oh, you are so past deadlines now. So far past.
In a manner of speaking, I tapped Jilly on the back. Let's go, kid. Take all the shortcuts you know. The most important course I took in B-School was Public Facilities Treatment, an elective on the Colonial Management track. Sessions met 6 days a week for 6 hours a day, starting at 6 a.m. My other classmates all thought I was nuts, saying that no one was supposed to learn anything in B-School, that we were just supposed to make connections and form relationships and blah, blah, blah. I agreed with them, for the most part, but I knew that having more than a passing understanding of modern sewage control would probably look good on my CV. I thought about this as we hunched over a manhole next to the water treatment plant. I fought the sudden urge to be as heavily armed as possible as Bloombeck hefted a crowbar. The seal cracked, and the thick reek of fermenting shit slapped me.
You probably want to lock up that environment suit now.
I should have done that when you first showed up. I gave the suit a once-over. It was an old-fashioned step-in job, 2 sealed zippers on the shoulder, and a snap collar that snugged around a rubber-hooded rebreather mask. It was a little tight over my street clothes, but that was a small price to pay for keeping it away from my skin. No matter how clean Bloombeck swore it was, I was sure I'd have to get revaccinated as soon as I got home.
I should remind you that I'm not a fan of enclosed spaces.
Don't go talking to me about enclosed spaces, Mr. I Can't Do Hibernation. I pulled on the helmet. The suit's simple air meter, a rainbow strip at the bottom of my field of vision, came up all green.
Please double-check your seals. Failure to do so will absolve Liao Consolidated Manufacturing Concern of all blame.
I put Banks' helmet over his face. You still remember your EVA orientation?
As long as something tells me when I'm running out of air, what's there to remember?
Not much else. I moved to Jilly. The smallest suit Bloombeck had was 2 sizes too big, and she looked even more like a kid than ever.
You ready?
Shouldn't I take a class or something first?
I pointed to the colored strip that lined the bottom of her mask.
Ignore the univoice and just watch this meter. If it starts to turn yellow, that means your rebreather filter is starting to fail.
And then what?
Then you tap us on the shoulder and do this.
I put my hands to my throat.
One of us will give you an extra line to breathe. Don't panic, you'll do fine.
I want a raise.
Don't we all?
Bloombeck handed us several 50-liter Caneplast bags.
For evidence.
Bloombeck climbed into the manhole.
This feeds into the city mains. It links up with the lines from the main Wawa building. I marked off a route for us.
How? By smearing shit on the walls?
Blumbeck pulled a glow marker off his suit's belt.
I have some sense.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I grabbed the marker from him and spun him around.
What are you doing?
Making a breadcrumb.
I drew a giant X across the back of Bloombeck's helmet. I made sure my filter gauge was still all green, went through the suit's checklists, safety straps, multi-tool, lights, and into the dark we went. The temperature started climbing immediately. All that water rushing through those pipes, all that air pushing down from the surface, it was a wonder we didn't bake like salt ducks. The suits would help keep us from overheating, but not enough to stop us from sweating. The glowing X floated in front of us, and soon we passed a series of luminous green arrows that sent us under sweating pipes and into ever darker tunnels.
Oh, this is just like being back on the Rose.
Everything here probably came from a ship like yours. Most of this stuff was cannibalized from old hulks the Big Three dropped down the gravity well. No need to kick perfectly good equipment across the stars when there's already stuff in transit that you could write off.
Yay for recycling.
I turned back to Jilly, who gave me an okay sign. Her hands only shook a little. We stopped in front of a rusting pipe, just a little wider than Bloombeck was round. Bloombeck cracked the access port, and the stench of all of Brushhead's shit plowed into us.
This is the line I followed to the ward mains.
Bloombeck tied off the rope to a pipe fitting.
You keep following the arrows, and you'll get to the burn room. Make sure to watch out for the tides in there. They flush the system every 60 minutes, and you don't want to get caught in that.
You sound like you're not coming with us.
You don't want me slowing you down.
He handed me the other end of the line.
Maybe not, but I definitely want you to help us haul out whatever we find in there.
But I already gone up there.
Then the second time will be even easier.
I clipped the carabiner to his belt and shoved him in the pipe. He was consumed by the current of filth.
Oh, this is bad.
That's why you're going next.
I hooked a carabiner around the pipe before locking it around his belt.
Oh, fuck. Podmar, are you kidding?
I clipped another carabiner on the line right behind Banks, then hooked the next one onto Jilly. I locked the end onto my suit.
Just remember this the next time you make a deal without consulting me, Counselor.
Okay, I take it back. I owe you big time.
Goddamn right.
I pushed them both into the pipe before following them into the abyss. The air scrubbers on our suits were Type 1, the kind you use for cyanide mines, but the mine can overpower the best of Big Three tech. I tried not to think about what kinds of evil we were swimming in as we zipped along the line. The pipe was half full and too fast moving to get decent footing, but we could break a little by digging our heels into the bottom. The soles of the exposure suits were textured rubber mixed with ground-up palm crab shell for grip. We passed more glowing arrows, and I wondered how hard getting out would be. Banks and I could probably muscle our way upstream, but we'd have to lend Jilly a hand. Bloombeck would have to find his own way home. We eventually found Bloombeck at a T-junction. He was tying off another line when we skidded into view. He tapped the side of his head, and a text popped up on my Pi.
Voice can't carry down here. Text only. This is going to cost you.
I held onto an overhead fitting with one hand and gave him the finger with the other as I texted back.
I'm pretty sure we're back into you owing me territory. If anything, you've owed me ever since we first met.
How? I helped you out when you first breached. I showed you the ropes.
You showed me where the toilets were, and then you tried to bum five yuan off me.
That was for Mrs. Powell's ex-birthday party.
Which never happened because you kept all the cash for yourself. Your first scam. How much you've grown up since then.
This isn't a scam.
No, it's a legitimate investigation into corporate shenanigans. They'll write songs about it, I'm sure.
I grabbed the line from his trembling fingers and cinched a tight knot around another fitting.
How much farther?
50 meters.
Good. Think I can hold off puking for that long.
I texted Bloombeck, hooking another carabiner up to his harness before locking it around the new line.
And what more could I possibly owe you?
Brought info about Wawa setting you up. That was deal.
You brought me a handful of paper flakes.
I tied off Banks.
You really think that's worth the same as me helping you with a land scam?
You're going to help me then?
Just get us there.
I gave Jilly another glance. She just nodded, her face a little green, though it could have been her helmet's internal lights. We headed farther into the shit, twisting and turning until we started to climb up enough that there was an air gap between the effluent and the top of the pipe. Above us was an access hatch, one that was slightly ajar.
We pushed our way up and out into a maze of pipework. We cleaned ourselves in what I hoped was water, then followed Bloombeck and the trail of glowing X's until we came to a door marked Incinerator. He thumped it a few times, then cracked his helmet. We followed suit. Is this the part when you explain how you've suddenly become fireproof?
It's not on all the time. Jimny told me they only fire it up every 2 weeks. Saves on gas.
But this leads to the paper dump?
We just send the kid through the feeder grate and you'll see.
We'll see you go first, again.
Fine.
Bloombeck swung the door open. An avalanche of cinders spilled out, followed by a bundle of charred sticks. Bloombeck fell backwards on his ass. Then he picked up one of the sticks and saw it was a bone. A human skull landed on top of his head. He saw it roll away. I spun Jilly away. Banks squatted down next to the skull, its toothy mouth open in one last scream. He looked at the bones, then pulled something out of the ash, a metal rectangle as long as his finger. He swiped away the grime, and the word POTS appeared out of the carbon.
You think he fell?
I aimed my lamp at the skull. Probably, but I think anyone would after getting shot in the head. Banks aimed his own headlamp at the single black hole right between the body's empty eye sockets.
I thought you said there were no guns here.
In theory, there aren't, but there's always someone who tries to get around the ban. I hunkered down next to Banks and shook my head. Poor Jimny. I pulled off a glove and held my fingers over the name tag. It was cool, so the body had been here for a while. When were you down here, Bloomy?
I had nothing to do with this. Jimny was alive when he pushed me out.
Bloomy, you're capable of a lot of crap, but not a murder. Now, how long? Was the sun still up when you got out?
Uh-huh.
And were they still serving 2-for-1 at the Stoneways Lounge?
Uh-huh.
3 hours. We were on the way back from the bars. I blinked a few pictures, debated sending them to Sony. This far under, there probably wasn't any signal. That also meant she couldn't track me, but I'd probably have a hell of a time explaining why I'd disappeared for a bit. Banks blinked a few pictures of his own.
You still think this was Saurian?
Not anymore. I think it's ghosts.
Here?
It's the only thing that fits. At first, I thought the weirdness in Steelcase was Saurian trying to scare me off, but then he and a bunch of people turn up dead. This seals it for me. Ghosts are meant for sending messages, and there's no stronger message than a bullet to the head, even if it's just for a small-time stoner like Jimny. I just wish I knew what it is that got their attention.
Maybe it's you.
You know, as much as I like to think Wawa's board of directors has me on some most wanted list, I think it's something bigger. Sending a ghost squad just to slap me around? If anyone would have their attention, it would have been Saurian. His headcount was a lot higher than mine. Plus, he never missed an opportunity to get on the air about the struggle, about how the Union was going to smash our corporate overlords and liberate humanity from indenture and servitude. Too bad he was such an asshole. I walked up to the incinerator grate and saw a space in there big enough for Jilly to snake through. We need to see what's in there. Might help us figure out what's got Wawa so riled up.
You're not going to send Jilly in there.
You're right. I should just call Wawa and tell them to come down here and investigate the body in their incinerator, which we found by breaking into their facility. Maybe their ghosts will come down here and invite us up for tea and biscuits.
It was just a suggestion.
I'm game. Just to get me away from that.
I handed her the cane plast bags and watched her shimmy up the ladder and into the incinerator room. The designers had been safety-minded enough to install ladder rungs out of the pit. I climbed to the top to peek into the burn room and marvel at the monument of bureaucratic waste. Waist-high drifts of paper shreds surrounded Jilly, and more flakes floated down from a dozen vents. I held out a hand and caught the remnants of some Wawa report, no two shreds alike. The floor was tilted toward the grate, not so steep that Jilly was in danger of falling back in, but just enough for her to work. She hustled back and forth, bringing us flakes.
All right, I think we have a pile worth scooping up.
Jilly stuffed as much as possible into a bag, then flipped it back to us. Banks whipped open one of the 50-liter bags.
This is a gold mine. Evidence reconstruction always fascinated me in law school. Peeling bits off dead hard drives, finding data veins and dried-out organic DBs. And the paper, man. Even when paper shreds are burned, you can pick up all sorts of ink and pen impressions. Stuff that's still legible.
So what, you're going to sift through all these and do that little trick with your pie?
Sure. This kind of thing is relaxing.
I shook my head as I caught another bag. What makes you think you're going to find anything good?
Banks picked up two handfuls of paper, blinked, then dumped them on the ground. He went through the pile for a minute, then showed me three fragments, all with Walwa executive chops next to Evanroot Sarian's name. So Walwa was gunning for Sarian?
We'd have to go through a whole lot more to find out for sure.
Then let's grab all we can. I can hand all this over to Sony, and maybe it'll be enough to clear me. Jilly jammed the executive pile into six bags and stuffed them down the chute. Jimny's skull was still there, smiling away, and I made a note to add it to my statement as soon as we were safe in Brushhead. Sony would be pissed about my little excursion, but technically she didn't say anything about underground trips violating my bail bond. I clipped up to the line and thought about how all this would be worth it in a few months' time, right after the first batches of my rum sat nestled in their racks, hidden away from prying eyes and greedy hands. I would banish the fear for the rest of my life, and then spend my days selling old windswept all over Santee, hell, all over occupied space. It was a sweet thought, all this work paying off faster than my indenture ever could have, and with better food, booze, and sex to boot. I could feel the breeze wafting through my Chino Cove lanai already, the quick air of the sea rushing past my face. Or was that someone shooting at us again? A pipe burst as I dove to the deck. I stole a peek above me, only to duck as I spotted four figures in environment suits aiming honest-to-Buddha submachine guns. I rolled to the open sewage pipe and hastily donned my helmet. Banks, Jilly, and Bloombeck joined me. Bloombeck clipped himself to the line.
The price just went up! You're buying me two cave farms!
Then you can kiss my ass twice!
I snapped a carabiner through my belt.
You got the badge?
Are you kidding?
I looked through the access hatch. Our piles of evidence still sat by the door to the incinerator.
Leave off!
No! I have gone through too much bullshit today, only to get stopped because someone wants me dead!
I unclipped from the line, fought my way over to Banks and Jilly, and rolled back out of the pipe. Bullets zipped past me as I crawled to the bags. The door was completely exposed, and the shooters knew it. A small forest of holes grew right where I had to go. I crouched, ready to sprint, when a bullet bore into the bulkhead I was cowering behind. I looked behind and saw a squad of armored Walwa goons kick their way through the grate and leap down the incinerator shaft. One of them got through the door before a bullet to the chest knocked him off his feet. The goons answered with a volley of riot foam. The rounds splatted against the piping, turning into frothy stalactites. It was enough to spook the shooters, who ducked behind the junction box and popped the muzzles of their guns over the top to fire blind. I grabbed the bags of paper scraps and scrawled giant X's on them with the glow marker, figuring if we lost hold of the things in the line, at least we'd see where they were going.
Get these back to the hole!
I threw the bags at Banks and Jilly.
What about you?
A spurt of foam hit my arm, and I flicked it away before it could expand and harden.
I'll get home somehow! Just get this out of here!
A fresh volley of bullets drove the goons back to the burn room. The shooters leaped out of their hidey holes and bolted for the other side of the room toward an open access port.
Oi! Assholes!
One of the shooters turned, and my headlamp light bounced off his helmet. But then he turned his body so the glare vanished, and I could have sworn the shooter wore an eye patch. The shooter looked at me, and I saw a crisscross of angry scars and faded ink on his face. No, her face. Holy crap! It was One Eye! I threw the glow marker, since it was the only thing I had available. It bounced off her shoulder, but left a spatter of ink. She fired another volley, then leaped into the access port. I leaped over the pipes, dodging a fresh round of foam shots. As I crawled toward the access port One Eye had used, I saw Banks fighting his way toward me.
Get back to the hole!
And go with Bloombeck? No way!
Banks hunkered down next to me.
I can take care of myself, Banks.
Jilly hunched behind Banks, bags strapped to her belt.
I would like to go home now.
Me too.
I grabbed the front of her suit and clipped her to the line around my belt.
But what about the tide? Bloombeck said the currents get too strong. Whoa!
Banks ducked as riot foam crackled overhead. I clacked a carabiner around Banks, then grabbed them both by their arms and hauled them in. The current grabbed us, and we hurled into the darkness. One Eye had a good minute and a half head start on us, but I had the benefit of being pissed off. I did my best breaststroke, always keeping the spatter from the glow marker in sight. Bloombeck must have sprung for a high visibility job, because it was the only way that thing could have shed any light in the pitch black of the pipes. I didn't have time to see what kind of line we'd jumped into, but the visibility was good enough for me to guess we were in a water main. At least the fluid wasn't as chunky as it had been on the way in. Banks texted me.
This is stupid.
Who said I should have gone with Bloombeck in the first place?
Damn.
The toxic piss glow of the paint spatter began to grow larger.
It took me a second to realize that one eye had stopped and that we were gaining on her. I dug the heels of my gloves and boots into the walls. The crushed palm crab shells had enough grip to slow us down. Banks bumped into me.
Stop. Press your gloves and boots against the walls.
Why stopping?
I don't want her to know we're here.
Something whizzed past my face.
Think she knows.
Fuck it.
I let go. A few more shots flew past, but I kept my belly low enough to the pipe's bottom to dodge them. That didn't keep me from getting a crack on my back from the butt of One Eye's submachine gun. I spun my feet up and gave her a kick to the shins. She swung the business end of the gun into my face. I bit the switch for my headlamp. The sudden burst of light drove her back. But not so far that her boot couldn't make contact with my chin. It was just a glancing blow, but it was enough to double me over. One Eye brought the gun to my face, but all she had was an empty magazine. She took another swing at me, but I was ready this time and launched off the bottom of the pipe and wrapped my arms around her midsection. We floated free, the current strong enough to bounce us around the inside of the pipe as we wailed away at each other. I reached for her back, trying to unhook any hoses or lines, but her suit was self-contained. Mine, of course, wasn't. So when she yanked the main feeder line for my rebreather out of its socket, I had no choice but to kick free and fix my air. I hadn't done this kind of thing since EVA training back in B school, but I kept my panic down, got the line back in place, and saw that my air supply was...
Warning, CO2 concentration at 800 parts per million.
I looked at the strip on the bottom of my mask. It was hovering between yellow and red. That couldn't have been right. I tapped the glass, then remembered that the strip wasn't a gauge with a needle. I dug my hands and feet into the pipe, and Banks bumped into me a few seconds later.
Think air going bad.
Banks then sent me a picture of the inside of his mask. His strip looked like mine. I spun Banks around and shone my headlamp on his rebreather pack. Everything looked fine. The lines were good, the connections were solid, all the ports worked, the filtration packs were in place and fine. Except for one corner of a label flipping in the water. I managed to get a gloved finger underneath it to peel it away. Underneath was the original label with an expiration date from 20 years before I was born.
Uh-oh.
Banks turned and gave me a stricken look.
Problem?
Jilly's gear was in slightly better shape. Her filter had only expired last year. I gave her a pat and a nod.
We need to leave.
How long we got?
Not enough.
I looked downstream at the faint yellow blob from the glow marker.
Follow her.
No time for revenge.
No, you dummy. She must know a way out.
She?
Just go.
I kicked us into the current, keeping one eye on the glow stain and the other on the filter gauge, now diving into shades of orange. My hands bumped into the sides of the pipe. We had gone so far that the mains had trunked off into smaller local lines. There was still enough room to swim, but I could feel the ribs of the pipes every time I took a stroke, my gloves bumping off the cane plast. I had no idea how far we'd gone, but the fact that there was no light ahead meant we were nowhere near an exit. It also meant there was nowhere for One Eye to go. She was close enough that I could see her outline lit up by the ink. I wasn't sure if I could throttle her, but I was ready to give it a shot. The glow stain stopped and hovered. I had no idea if One Eye was lost or catching her breath, and I wasn't about to stop and ask her. I grabbed the bottom of the pipe, crouched, and kicked off as hard as I could, which is why it hurt like hell when my head smashed into the grate. It hurt even more when Banks and Jilly piled into me moments later. I bit on my headlamp, and One Eye looked back from the other side of the grate. We stared at each other, and then she knocked on the metal bars and shrugged before kicking away. I then banged on the grate.
No! No!
Save air. Need to backtrack.
I banged on the grate again and watched One Eye disappear into the murk.
Padma, we need to go now.
All right, back up.
Trying.
Try faster.
We shifted back a meter, but the current was so strong that we sailed downstream the moment we let go of the ribs of the pipes.
This is going to take forever.
Don't have that.
Banks sent me a picture of the inside of his mask. The strip was now touching red. I pushed upstream, lost my grip, and slammed back into the grate. My mouth clamped around the controls for my headlamp, cranking up the lamp's intensity, and I realized just how cramped it was. So tight, all the ribs covered with slime and streaks of black mold and the water rushing past. The air, now foul with carbon dioxide, burned my nose, my eyes, my throat, and I felt so tired. I sagged, and the last thing I saw before I closed my eyes was the meter diving deep into the red as I started to pass out. And then someone jabbed me in the ass so hard I thought I'd been shot.
Padma!
The text came in the biggest type available, my name hovering in front of my eyes like a message from on high. I looked at Banks and Jilly. The air tasted less evil. I looked down towards my chin and saw a line snaking away from the front of my helmet toward Jilly's. She gave me a thumbs up, and I grabbed her shoulder. Good girl.
You okay?
How's your meter?
Bad.
The three of us combined our hoses, taking a little clean air from Jilly's system. I tapped on the grate again. It was locked in place, and the lock had been spot welded. One Eye had done a marvelous job trapping us. I wondered what kind of engineer she'd been. I wondered if anyone would find our bodies and bother to avenge us.
Ideas?
Swim back.
Not enough air. Kick out great.
Banks gave it a go, then shook his head. Then he texted.
You hear that?
What?
Getting louder.
I turned as best I could. More and more particles floated past us, and then the current got strong enough to knock us back into the grate.
The tide.
The crushing wave shoved Banks into me and me into the grate. The pressure kept growing, and I was pretty sure I was about to pass out, and pretty pissed that this was how it would end. Then I saw One Eye had missed welding one bar in place. It scraped as the pressure from the oncoming tide pushed us back. I twisted around and kicked as hard as I could. Banks and Jilly saw what I was doing and joined in, all three of us driving our boots into the grate. We sailed through the murky water like corks over a waterfall. I tried to get a grip on the pipe ribs, but the current moved too fast. Jilly flew away from me, the hose snapping loose, leaving me with another helmet full of foul air. And then I flew. I wasn't hallucinating. I sailed through the air, through space, surrounded by a billion stars against the purple-black sky, something I hadn't seen since the last time I went up the cable, a feeling so free and wonderful and... Banks and Jilly smashed on top of me, and about a billion liters of water smashed us and swept us away. I fought to get upright, pushing against what felt like pudding until I was on my feet. Then I wrestled with the collar on my helmet until it clacked open. The rotten air rushed out, replaced with a thick funk of green and jungle rot. I had never smelled anything better in my entire life. As I caught my breath, I saw a wall of swaying shadows move toward us. But then my eyes adjusted, and I saw they were cane leaves moving in the wind. We were in an irrigation ditch for a cane field, somewhere in the middle of the campong. 20 meters upstream and 3 meters above, an outflow pipe gushed from a dirt mound, our exit route from Throne Hill. I found Banks in the mess, on his ass, up to his waist in muddy water, his helmet dangling down his back, the hood still caught in his suit.
God, I feel like the whole world just farted on me.
Poetic. I helped him to his feet. You okay?
Other than the world fart thing, yeah. You know where we are?
Hell yeah! This is home.
I grabbed a nearby cane shoot, snapped it over my knee, and sniffed the inside. It was sweet and oily with a charcoal tang beneath. Industrial. I looked up at the lights of Throne Hill and Santee City proper twinkling on opposite sides of the horizon. Above us was a smear of stars and the faint blinking warning lights on the lifter's tender rings, which means we're a good hike from Brushhead. I blinked up a clock. 8:15.
3 days in a row.
My vision swam, and I sank to the ground. Banks helped me up.
You okay?
Yeah, just dizzy. All this fresh air.
You think we should call anyone?
Nah, I got this. You can hoof it to my parents' place, catch a ride into town.
You sure they're gonna let you go back?
Hey, I'm union now. They don't have a say.
Good answer.
But shouldn't we still call? I mean, we're being chased by people with guns.
We're out of range.
Of what?
Everything. Most of the cane farmers out here are freeborn, so they don't have pies, which means they don't want data towers in the middle of their land.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. The union and the co-op have been trying to get some out here for years, but no go. We'll communicate the way God intended us to, they'll say, in person.
No wonder you left.
It wasn't that bad. I'm just sick of cane.
We shed the suits and tucked them in the bags of paper shreds in the cane. I made sure to pull out one of the long-expired filter cartridges for evidence to be used against Bloombeck for future lawsuits and ass-kickings. I put the cartridge into the cargo pocket on my thigh. Then we started pushing our way through the cane.
Ugh. I should have known better. Whenever Bloombeck gets any kind of gear, it's going to be so third-rate it's not worth using. The man lived to peck through garbage and resell it. When he lived downstairs from me, he sold me a toaster that would catch fire after every fifth slice of bread.
How do you know?
What do you mean? I counted.
This was back when I'd first breached.
No, I mean, how do you know he didn't do this on purpose?
Are you serious? Bloombeck trying to off me? What good would that do him?
You don't think he'd find some kind of angle
Look,
to...
Vitai Bloombeck is a conniving sack of crap with the IQ of a sponge, but he's not the kind to commit murder. He doesn't have it in him. He runs whenever there's a whiff of violence. Christ, he can't even thumb wrestle without wetting himself. That one-eyed bitch, on the other hand...
Well, what one-eyed bitch?
Your pal, Ellie. She was the one shooting at us.
That's good, Padma. I was afraid the air had gotten to your brain.
Every time something bad has happened to me in the last few days, she's been involved. You guys get pinched by Saurian? She leads the march to his bus.
That's because he had large, angry men with him.
When the Wawa goons caught that bus, she was there.
As a prisoner, with the rest of us.
When Jordan and her buddies showed up, she was the one who beat the crap out of them.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Then you'll give me what happened at Steelcase, too. She's a ship's engineer, and part of engineering is understanding control layouts. She could have piloted that crane.
And shot at us at the same time? And piloted the other cranes that were chasing us?
Maybe she got some local talent to help her out. There were a bunch of people in the burn room, and she was one of them. Look, I saw her face. One eye. Lots of scars. She shot at us, and she had help.
Whose? Wawa's?
Uh-huh. She's a ghost, Banks. Your friend is a Wawa ghost.
Look, Ellie may get a little aggro, but there's no way she could be a ghost. I've been with her for 4 years.
But where was she before she came aboard?
As your attorney, I advise you to drop this before I have to get you committed.
Won't work here. All the shrinks are already crazy.
Ellie is not a ghost.
Then how else do you explain how an armed assault team appeared out of nowhere?
I know this has been a really long, nasty day, but I give you my word that you did not see Ellie shooting at us.
You don't believe me? Then we'll see what Sony and the police have to say when I get back within broadcast range. This all just got bigger and uglier, and if you want to be part of the Union, you're going to have to get behind us.
Because of your say-so?
Goddamn right. It was tough going through the tightly packed stalks, and it was that much worse when I felt something stick to my hands and face. At first, I thought it was actual sugar from broken shoots, but then I looked at my hands and saw they were coated in sticky black residue. What the hell is this?
This field's done. Black stripe.
The fungus? Can't they just treat it?
Nope. Not this kind. Showed up earlier this year, and it's bad. Got my folks, my neighbors. Fungicides can't stop it, and no one's sure what the vector is.
I wiped my hands on my clothes, only to see they were already coated with the black stripe. Has it gotten into the heirloom yet?
To a fungus, cane's cane.
You and your friends in the co-op, you've been so worried about your precious rum. You never thought about what else was happening in the campong. How many hectares look like this? How many that make your 6 o'clock tipple? It's been under your nose the whole time, and you've been too self-involved to notice.
I stopped and looked back to where we'd come from. Jilly had hung on to 2 bags of shreds, and Banks was sure there would be enough in there to keep the police from thinking I'd murdered Saurian. The smart thing to do would be to pick them up, walk back toward Throne Hill and its connectivity, and wait for Sony to pick me up. I could clear my name, then get back to dealing with ghosts and rotting cane and skunked rum. I looked at the withering cane, the stalks streaked with black, like someone had sprayed the field with coal dust. I'd been in the campong plenty of times, seen the occasional blighted fields from a rust or a smut or any of the other nasty fungal infections that hit cane. It was never as bad as this. And what if it didn't stop with the rum? What if the same skunk weirdness was happening with all the industrial molasses we were sending up the cable? How many people would lose their shirts if their farms were ruined? Hell, what if this jumped to actual food? I could tell Sony later about Wawa's possible nefarious deeds. First, I had to see what was happening to the cane. I followed Jillian Banks deeper into the campong.